Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit.
What's good, Fatherhood? It's your boy, James Lopez, representing for the dopest Fatherhood podcast out, the Fatherhood is Lit podcast. I'm a dad that likes to get creative with their kids, but I know my limitations. Today, we are chatting with someone that takes creativity to the next level. Not even the new level, the next level. What's good, Taylor Commons? How you doing?
Hey, man. I'm feeling good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, for the people that don't know Taylor, we know Taylor as Dude Dad. And I think that we might actually stick to that during this conversation. Is that cool?
Yeah, man. There's a lot of people. It's funny. I never meant for Dude Dad to become like my alias. It was always supposed to just be like the name of the page. But then before I knew it, people were just like calling me Dude Dad. And I was like, all right, well, I guess that's cool. It's fun.
Yeah, but how does it feel? Before we get into like the background, how does it feel walking around with your family and maybe having some random person run up to you screaming, "You're Dude Dad"? how does that go?
It's normally pretty fun, man. Like, it's because people are so cool, and kids get excited because a lot of kids have started watching my stuff, and so it's usually really fun. I don't know that I've really had a bad experience with that because it doesn't happen that often. So when it does happen, it's exciting, you know. It's happened a lot more now that we've moved away from LA. Because in LA, like, there's so many people that you kind of don't even see people around you. Mm-hmm. But also, like, everyone's so used to everyone having some sort of, you know, thing that they're known for or whatever. So no one cares about you.
Yeah.
But now we live in Fort Collins, Colorado, which is way smaller. So, yeah, it's happening a lot more.
So people are recognizing you more. So it's almost like New York, where in New York City you could walk around and there's a star to the left of you, a star to the right of you, and you have no idea who they are. Like, it's almost like you mm-hmm. just keep it moving. Yeah. But I guess the smaller it becomes, you know, the more known you become. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's less people around, so it's easier to notice who's next to you and stuff. And, like, my wife gets recognized at Target with her mask on. And people will be like, you would be at Target. Because that's, like, a running gag that, like, she's always at Target.
That's funny. I guess you're a big fish in a small pond.
Right? Yeah, exactly. We love our small pond. We're super excited to be here. And be like investing in a smaller community where we can make more of an impact and stuff like that too.
So. Yeah, that's crazy because, you know, I live in New York City, of course. Where I live, it's a small pond. It's Staten Island. You know, it's one of the boroughs that makes up New York City, but people call it like the forgotten borough. And it's funny because I walk around with my kids and people will see me and they'll be like, "Oh, that's Fatherhood is Lit. Oh, that's James from the Fat Startup," or whatever. And I look at my kids sometimes and it's like, yeah, that is me. Like, you ever look at your kids and say, "Yo, I am Dude Dad"? Like, what's up?
Like, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, just to, like, kind of, like, take ownership of that.
Yeah, like, taking ownership over it and then also showing them that it's okay to take ownership because you're not being cocky about it. It's more about accepting who you are to these people, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, I feel like what that's done for me is it helps keep me honest, right? Because, like, for me, I'm like, if I'm going to put myself out there as this dude that's really invested in his kids and his relationship and you know, his definition of what it is to be a dad, then I want to make sure that I'm living that out, you know? And especially when you start to get put under a microscope more, you know, I got to be careful, like, just what I look like in the public of, like, how I handle my kids and things like that, because people literally might be watching and you know, I want to make sure that I'm living up to what I put out there, which is also why a lot of what I put out there, I try to be as honest as possible and be like, look, I sometimes suck at this, you know, because that's the reality for most of us, that no one's ever getting it right all the time. And by doing that, it's sort of, you know, it's giving other people a chance to be vulnerable, but also letting them know, like, hey, this dude isn't superhuman. Like, like he's a real guy just like me. He screws up just like me, which I think hopefully gives other dads hope too, that like, oh, you know what, like I lost my cool today. I don't think that was the right way to handle that situation, but you know what, like I you know, I'm not, that doesn't mean I'm a terrible father. Like I can do it again different next time.
Yeah, that's the real side of it, where it's like, you know, especially online with social media and digital influencers, a lot of people do things that are cute for the likes and the views.
Yep.
But when you actually keep it real, it actually resonates and it actually has a bigger return on investment, you know, for lack of a better term. But yeah, that's I love that. Like you started Dude Dad, and I think you started it because of the same reasons that a lot of us do it, where it's that we want to show parents that, like you just said, we're still human. So what was what was behind Dude Dad? Like, was it the human factor of it, or was it that you were trying to show them that you're still a dude? Like what was good? What was the, what was the point?
So, I mean, I got started kind of a weird way because I didn't know any of that going into it. Because I started it when my wife was pregnant. So I didn't even know what I was getting into or really who I was, you know. But I got into it because I was an actor living in L.A., not making enough money to support a family, and realizing like, oh, crap. Like when this baby comes, like this whole dream of being an actor might go away because it's probably not going to be realistic. You know, like when it's just you and your wife, you can like, you can get by on very little and be fine, you know, but you throw a baby into that mix, there's a lot more responsibility that comes with it. So I started it up as a way to stay creative while also being a dad. Cause I'm like, you know what, we might have to bounce out of LA. We might have to go back to Midwest where it's cheap or whatever. And just, and like start a quote unquote normal life. So that's how I got into it. Was like, I'm going to start just making videos about being a father. I see a lot of stuff out there for moms, but not a ton of stuff out there for dads. Maybe I can like be the voice in that arena. But I didn't know anything about that arena because I didn't even have kids yet. But as I started to get into it more, I realized what a amazing sort of field, or you know, that I was getting into, that there was like this huge thing happening in the world of fatherhood, that like people were starting to get a lot more interested in what dad means, and dads are starting to get a lot more invested, and especially as like moms start like really like taking on careers and going back to work, like now all of a sudden like the definition of dad has sort of changed in the last generation, you know, that we've become a lot more involved and things like that. And here I sort of step into this place where I already sort of had that mindset, but didn't realize that it was sort of a part of this bigger movement. So I sort of just kind of like fell into it and started to see all this, you know, the popularity that it gained just by, you know, aligning with that movement. Was like, oh dang, like this is bigger than just me getting to be creative. Like this is about what it means to be a dad in 2020, in, you know, as a millennial.
Yeah, and I think one thing that you're displaying is that when you become a dad, priorities change, right? Like you take care of your kids, and you know, I like to say that sometimes it feels like you're not really living life for yourself anymore. You're living it for them, but you don't necessarily have to change who you are. Meaning that if you're a creative guy like you are, now all you did was just add kids to the mix. You didn't have to say I can't be creative Taylor anymore. And I think that's where the misconception comes, where people think, yo, I become a father, now everything has to change. And it's like, no, it doesn't. You just added a bonus part to it.
Yeah, 100%. That's like sort of the definition of Dude Dad is that I have like on my profiles is being a dad while staying a dude. You know, like just because you're a dad doesn't mean you have to switch into that basic dad mode where you like are obsessed with your lawnmower, which by the way, though, I actually do really love my lawnmower.
Yeah, but that's because you want to probably soup that thing up.
Dude, I got a dope lawnmower. These electric ones now, they're insane. Like I can get two full cuts with one battery. All right, anyway. Okay.
You see, next thing is to add a turbocharger to it.
Exactly. Yeah. I was already looking at like, hey, I wonder if I could like hook this up behind my kid's Power Wheels and let him drag it around the yard. We'll get to that.
That's hilarious, man.
It could be a lot of fun. It could be a lot of fun. But, you know, like, my goal is to just, you know, show people the reality of fatherhood, but also just show them how much fun it can be. You know, that like, just because have to be the responsible ones now doesn't mean we can't still have a really great time doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree 1,000%, man. And that's my motto. Like we could just add to it. We could have fun. And I tell people all the time, your presence doesn't have to be boring. And that's what you're doing. You're showing people that your presence doesn't have to be boring. Now you're doing it by taking it to the next level. Like when I first found you, I actually saw you like souping up a Power Wheels. What's up with that, bro? What got you into doing that? Like, what got you into souping up Power Wheels? Because I know I want to ride those things. Like, I see the videos that you put up, and it's like, man, I want to get on that.
you can. I got on it. But the problem is like, with you and I, we're too heavy. So then, like, the wheels can't move forward, but there's so much torque that you just pop a wheelie instantly. It's pretty awesome. It'll just, like, throw you on your back.
That's hilarious. What got you into doing it? Was it the hopes of you riding it, or was it more like, yo, I can see my kids riding this?
Oh, I mean, it was for the kids. But like I had seen somebody else do it in the past, and you know, I've kind of got that Tim Taylor mentality of like more power, you know.
Tool man.
Tim the Tool Man dude dad. But like yeah, so I mean, I just wanted to try it, and like I kind of like dissected it and figured out a way to do it that I could not only like give it more power, but then I also put like a speed control on it so that I could dial it down. Because when the first time I did it, my kids hadn't even drove a Power Wheels yet, so I'm like, well, I can't just give them a full bore. Like, I've got to be able to tone this thing down. But I created a system that like worked really well, so that like other dads. And then I showed, like, made a video to show how to do it so other dads can replicate it. And, you know, you can sort of dial up the speed for your kid as they get bigger. And eventually my son, who's an insanely good driver now, like, I don't know if you saw the video, I made the Power Wheels course, and it's like an obstacle course. Yeah. You had to like swerve through and stuff. And he's like power sliding around stuff.
He's drifting.
Yeah, he does a 180 drift around this like pole. And it's like super tight and just like nails it. Like, and he does it. He has to like feather the gas pedal to do it, because he like, he'll hit the gas pedal, and then as soon as you take your foot off, the wheels lock up, which causes you to slide. So he just starts feathering it so that it creates this slide motion, and he just keeps the slide going all the way around 110 or 180 degrees. It's insane. I'm like, I didn't teach him how to do that, because I've never done like.
Did you even know that it could do that? Like,
no.
So you didn't.
Until I saw him. Yeah, like he just drove it enough and got good enough with like how to use the slide to his advantage that he literally uses it to turn. Mm-hmm. But it's so cool as a dad to create something, hand it off your kid, and let them sort of make it into their own and start learning from it. You know, and you're like, I mean, I didn't teach him how to do that. Like, I literally can't, because I can't ride the thing. So he's just like figuring it out on his own. Mm-hmm.
And how did you get your wife to buy into that? Like, I know a lot of dads sometimes they be like, man, I want to do that with my kids, but my wife isn't gonna let that happen. How did she feel?
Yeah, I just married a really awesome gal who's just like sort of down for the experience. Like, there's a few different times in videos where I've like tried to label her as like the, you know, like as, I mean, the traditional, like, oh, what are you doing? That's dangerous. Stop it. Kind of mom. But in reality, she's just not like that. So we eventually realized, like, why are we trying to push this false narrative of like, you know, I think that was just like the easy go-to of like, if I'm crazy and wild, that I would have to push against this wife who was like, hey, we need to tone it down. When in reality, she's like, that looks super cool. You know, like, she doesn't do any of that stuff. She doesn't build anything, but she is usually, you know, okay with anything that I'm working on, because she trusts me. And if she isn't, if there's ever a time where she, like, you know, pulls out the red flag and is like, hold up, then I usually know that I should probably listen to her because she doesn't do it that often.
That's a good way to stay balanced.
Yeah. Like if she comes out, she's like, I don't know about this. And I go, yeah, I better check it over.
So when you first built like the Power Wheels, right? And your kids first like pressed on the gas, like, was that like eye opening? Like, did you say to yourself, holy crap, like this thing not only works, but it might be crazier than I thought? Like, did you like over deliver?
A little bit. I mean, it was definitely the first time we hooked it up. Actually, not the first time. The first time I hooked it up backwards with like the negative on the positive, and it actually exploded.
Wait, the battery broke? The battery blew up?
No, the battery didn't explode. It was like this little, I don't know what it's even called, like a little, transformer thing that I had hooked up into the system, and like I hooked it up backwards and it just went pop, and like literally like there's like a hole in the side of the thing, and I was like, okay, I like to, like, my style of building is like, let's just try it and see if it works, and if it doesn't work then we'll try something else. And after that I was like, okay, maybe we need to actually make sure we're doing it right before we hook it up. Like, okay, you know. Like, I don't like to spend a lot of time going like, oh, is this the right way to do it? I go, well, let's just hook it up, and if it doesn't work, then we'll switch it, you know? But that's not always the best idea.
Until something blows up. The rest of the time, it works.
Oh, man, because as soon as something blows up, you go, oh, man, now I got to wait for Amazon for 2 days before I can try it again.
But that's still a good attitude, though. That's still a good attitude, because I think when it comes to creativity and fatherhood, because of all the misconceptions, right, that people throw at us, dads might be fearful of trying things and failing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I can't, you know, if I buy a brand new Power Wheel, it costs me $100, $200, I don't want to open this up and break it because then I seem like a failure. But in reality, you didn't fail by trying.
Yeah, no, I love that. I've heard some quote with that at some time of like, some dad was talking about how he wants his kids to fail constantly because that means they're trying things, you know, like, and I 100% agree, because the last thing I want is for my kids to not try something because they're scared of failing.
Exactly.
For me, like, part of the definition, I had to answer this for the, our TV show, we're getting our own TV show on the new Magnolia Network that's going to be coming out in 2021. Ooh, but they were asking me for my definition of what it means to be a creator. And I said something like, not being scared of failing or stepping out and trying something, risking failure to make something that's never been done or something like that. But like, the failure was a part of my definition because I think that's so important to the creative process that like, you have to accept that you're going to fail. That's what creators do. Creators fail all the time, yeah. But you're never going to create anything new without failing first, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And just like making the video, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you have to teach that. It's almost one of those things that if we don't teach them that, who's going to teach it? Because when they go to school, yeah, you know, they're taking exams. They fail the exam, they fail the class. They're not given the opportunity to redo it and pass it. That's a failing grade. You know what I mean? And it's almost like we got to teach them that it's okay. Like, you got to go think about things, but you know, there's going to be times when you fail and when you don't. And when you could fail and retry, man, you're in a good position.
Yeah, well, I can think of lots of adults in my life that still struggle with that. That they're scared of failing, so they won't try, or they'll sabotage themselves so that they, you know, like, I think we the closer we get to success, the more scared we get of failure because, you know, we're almost there, and then to fail feels so much worse. Mm-hmm. I especially experienced that when I was acting, you know, because like acting is so difficult to break into. So you have like, first you have to get the audition. So you'd be like one of 1,000 people that submitted your headshot, and then you get the audition. It's like, oh my God, I got the audition. then you like do the audition, you get a call back. It's like, oh my gosh, I got a call back. Now you're like, it's narrowed down even more. And then you get that, they call it, you get put on hold, right? You get put on a veil, So they're saying, hey, we might cast you. Are you available to shoot days? You're like, yes, I'm available. So now you and maybe a couple other people are put on a veil. And it's those times that when you don't get it, that hurt the worst because you were right there.
Yeah, you went through the process.
So it's almost better to not even get put on a veil because you get your hopes up, you know, and then you just get crushed when you don't get it. You're like, oh, man, like, literally don't tell me. Like, if I'm on a veil, just don't tell me. I'm available. I don't want to know because I'm just going to get my hopes up. But, you know, like, if you want to ever get that, you have to be open to the failure.
Yeah.
It's just a part of the process.
It's the part of the learning, man. You can't learn what you mess up on if you don't mess up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's entrepreneurship at its finest. You know, you put out a product and you see what happens and then you refine it. You know, you got to go through there. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to fail. If it was that easy, everybody would do it. You know? Everybody.
And it's so fun to look back on the things you did in the past and go like, oh, well, I realize why that didn't fail now. But you only realize that because you kept going and you refined your product or whatever it is. And now you're like, oh, yeah, I mean, my whole stuff sucked.
Yeah.
But I know that now because I kept trying.
Yep. And then you actually got somewhere after all the trying, which is good, you know, which is the name of the game. Now another part of being creative that you touched upon, you know, especially with the failure side, is the embarrassment of others, right? So how are you teaching your kids to get creative and not worry what others think? Because I think that's something that you do really well when it comes to building like the power wheels. Like there's definitely people out there that look at you and say, nah, man, I would never do that. This is too dangerous. But then there's dads like me that'll look at that and be like, man, I want in. I want in on that. So how do you teach your kids to not worry about others' perception? And how do you keep that to yourself too?
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like it's a lead by example kind of thing, right? The way they see you interact with other people, you know, like I feel like I've said before, it's like, you know, figure out the man you want your son to be and the man you want your daughter to someday marry and then become that man yourself, you know? And I think just showing them how you react in those situations, is ultimately the best way to lead. That, you know, that, I mean, we can have our embarrassment and stuff, but to not like dwell in it and not to be scared of what other people think. I'm like nervous as hell about that. Like as I watch my kids interact with other kids, you know, because I think our interactions with our peers when we're young shape us so much. And we all have those memories of like, the horrible things that happened to us in our childhood, when we were like left out of situations, where we were made fun of for different things, like those are the memories that like lock into us. So I'm just like starting to see that with my own kids. Of like my son, he wants to play with anybody and everybody, so he's super inclusive, and I love that about him. But like we'll literally be riding down the street on our bikes, and he'll be yelling to anybody he sees. It could be like a 50-year-old woman, and he'd be like, hey, you want to come play at my house? You know, like I love that. So anytime we go to a park, he's just like inviting everybody to come play with him, and not everybody will. And then you see that sadness come over him, and it is debilitating, because there's, you know, like, I don't know what to do about that as a father yet. Maybe you have thoughts on that. Like, that's where I'm currently at, like, trying to figure out, like, how do you navigate that? What does that look like? How do you, you know, teach them how to get along with others when other people aren't necessarily wanting to get along?
I think that's a hard one, man. Like, that one you got to get, for me, I feel like you got to get creative, right? Because I think with that one, I don't think any of us have the right answer. Because I look at my sons now, and like I look at my oldest, he's 13 going on 14. And when I see him playing with his friends, it's almost like I want to jump in and tell him how to play with the friends that I kind of like excluded. but mm-hmm. then I don't want to be that dad. You know what I mean? So it's almost like it's very difficult. Like what I do is I wait to when I get him home and I ask him, hey, you know, why didn't you play with Taylor? Like Taylor was there wanting to play. Why you didn't play with him? And then we go from there. Because kids are weird.
Like what does he say?
Like I've had that instance with him, and there's been times that he told me, oh, you know, I didn't play with such and such because they're annoying. And it's like, maybe you're annoying. Maybe you're the annoying one because everybody else is having fun except for him because you think he's annoying. But what if he's looking at you saying you're annoying and that's why he's not playing with you? And I think those type of questions leave them confused. Like it's more like like let me get you to think. You know what I mean? And that's something that, like you said earlier, lead by example. Like I have a lot of friends. He doesn't see us interacting all the time, but he still sees me calling them. Where it's still, I'm still involving them somehow. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's
tough, man, because I think as adults, we have those annoying people who we don't necessarily want to bring into our circle.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, that's the same thing. Like, how do you lead by example when you don't want to either, you know?
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard. And it's almost like you got to find these little creative spots where you could come in and show them where you might mess up and where they might mess up. Where now I could look at my son and tell him, you know, dad is very secluded, but dad is also trying to build a business. And dad has been building a business for 10 years now. Like, this isn't like the first time around and I need to focus. But I don't want him to think that because I'm focusing, he needs to do the same and throw his friends to the side. You know what I mean? So it's hard. It's hard to get like that balance between adulthood and childhood when it comes to annoying people.
Yeah.
Because their annoyance is different than my annoyance, you know?
Yeah. That's a tough one, man. I'm going to be chewing on that all day.
Yeah, that's a good one, man. We might have to revisit that one day.
As young as they are right now, I feel like even just stepping in as the dad and playing with all the kids and including the kid, you know, is, I feel like, the short-term answer for that.
That's a great
hack. Hopefully they'll learn something off of that. Yeah, just like, oh, you know, if I just jump in and start playing with the kid that's left out. And I think that, you know, like, I mean, moms have this ability too, but I feel like dads have an even easier in with it because we are so kid-like already, you know, that we could sort of have that ability and that it to just jump in and do that. But
it's hard. It's hard. You know, that going back to the handy stuff and being creative, not all of us are super handy. Like I used to like to take my son to do like the Lowe's build and grill sets. You know, when you're in the sets, like I've been doing that for years with Lowe's and Home Depot. That's as handy as I get. You know, you give me a computer, I could take it apart, put it back together. Not a problem. But putting Power Wheels together with a souped-up engine, not my thing. But one thing that I did see you do that I could do was that you grabbed like a piece of cardboard or something and you guys were sliding down the stairs in your house.
Oh, yeah. When was that? I think that was a while back. Yeah, I think that was a part of from that redneck sketch I did.
that was probably it.
Yeah, it was like how to baby proof your stairs, and you just like cover them with cardboard so it becomes a giant fly.
But that's fun.
It's so fun. And like we've done that before just to play as well. And I think that's what I love so much about creating and stuff like that, and like is just finding things around you to turn into something else that can be fun. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why Rube Goldberg machines are so much fun to me. It's like a giant crossword puzzle that you build with your hands. Mm-hmm. Because a Rube Goldberg machine, for those people that don't know, it's the chain reaction machine where one thing sets off the next thing, sets off the next thing.
Yeah, like a
domino. But instead of like using like engineered parts, you're just using random crap that's around your house and looking at it and going like, oh, like what motion does this thing have? Like, oh, this cup, if you put it on its side, will roll. But since the bottom is a little bit smaller in diameter than the top, it's going to roll with an arc. So now if we hit it, it's going to roll and do, you know, 90 degrees and then knock into this other thing. But being able to kind of like look at things and like play with things like that and like break down what each of the parts are and what they what they their capability of them are, I think is such a good life skill and brain teaser for kids and adults, just to like keep you sharp and be able to see things in a whole new way.
It seems to me like you like puzzles. Like it seems to me like you like to figure out how things work. Take apart the pieces and then put it back together.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many projects I've had where I'm like, oh man, I mean, we could never do that. How would we do that? And then you just start like getting into it a piece at a time. You go, oh, well, this isn't that complicated. You know, like when we did I swapped out my wife's car horn for a train horn. It was like, I don't know how to do that. I've never even, like, I don't really know anything about cars. Yeah. You know, but I had this funny idea to like put a train horn in my wife's Prius. And so I just started, first thing you do is you hop on YouTube and you YouTube it, you know, and you start like learning a little bit more, You open it up, you try a couple of things. And before you know it, it's like, oh, this isn't that complicated once you kind of break it down.
So what you're basically telling me is that any dad can get creative. There's different levels. Different levels of creativity. There's there's the hands-on, then there's more about, like, let's build the slide on the stairs. You're telling me is the best way for them to do it is to identify what they want to do and then go to YouTube next to try to figure it out?
Sure. Yeah, man. And like, I think that's definitely it. Like, you know, pick something within your capability range and just, you know, start from there. I mean, I think cardboard is such a great place to start because we all have it because everybody's ordering crap on Amazon now. So everyone's got boxes lying around.
That's right. Shout out to Prime.
It's easy to transform and cut and whatever, you know, like make your kids a spaceship, make your kids a slide, make your kids let's take it up a notch, make them a boat and get that, what's that spray called? They have this like spray now that makes things waterproof.
Oh, all right, like a shield. I forgot. I know what you're talking about. That it adds the layer.
Flex Seal.
Yeah,
it's called. Make a cardboard boat, spray it in Flex Seal, and take it out in the pond and see if it floats. You know.
Yeah, and I think
guaranteed that'll keep your kids entertained all weekend.
Yeah, and I think another part of that, which you said perfectly, was see if it floats. Like you're not mandating people to succeed. What you're telling them is go try.
Exactly. Yeah. Just try. Like the fun is in the process. Like if it works, then that's awesome. But if it doesn't work, you've already had this whole experience, especially an experience with your kids, getting to try something and work on something together.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it works for everybody because like I was saying earlier, I'm not the most handy person. But when we do these Lowe's build events, I'm super proud to be there knocking things down with a hammer and letting the kids do it. Where sometimes we even look at our kids and say, this might be too much for them, but they actually can handle it. Like, have you had a situation where you were building something and your kids wanted to get involved and you actually thought they couldn't do it, but they did it?
Yeah. I mean, my son, I mean, I think they sort of start to pick up on just watching you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, especially the older they get, man, because they're always watching. And we have to remember that because I think I think they learn more from us when we're not talking to them, you know, from just observing us, right? Which is scary because, you know, we don't realize that they're watching, but they're always watching for better or worse. But in a better case, my son knows how to change the batteries out in all the toys now by himself.
Look at that.
I never showed him how to do it, but I changed enough batteries out and he watched enough times that now he knows where the screwdriver is, where the battery is, and he just takes stuff apart. And like we'll put the battery in, we'll switch out his batteries at 4. Crazy. So yeah, like he's starting to learn how to use the power drill a little bit, but he doesn't have enough weight to kind of like push on it to get the pressure of it, but he's working on it, man.
Yeah, because he sees you doing it. And it's almost like, you know, if dad is doing it, I could do it. And when dad fails at doing it, he just bounces right back up. So it's more motivation. Where it's like, man, I want to do this like dad. And if I fail, cool, I'm going to fix it. Worst case scenario, I'll just ask dad for some help. You know,
just and come if you right want to see him, yeah. And if you want your kids to see you fail, just try to renovate your entire house while you're all living in it. Because there will be lots of failing moments in that. That's where we're at right now, man. It's been intense.
Oh, so, you know, we're going to wrap up pretty soon. I got a couple more questions. How did you get your kids involved with the, how do you get your kids involved with the creativity process? Like, do you, when you wanted to build like the carnival, the mini carnival in your backyard, right? Like, was that something that they proposed, or did you just say, I want to build this and then include them? Like, how does that work? Like,
yeah, they're still pretty young. So they didn't really, that was more of a surprise for them, but they definitely like came out a few times I was working on and like real interested, especially when the rockets started coming together. Then they got stoked. They're like, whoa, what is going on here? You know? So that one in particular, they weren't too involved in because I was trying to make it a surprise for them. But when I was doing one of the Power Wheels, he got pretty involved because he wanted to, you know, he wanted to help paint it and stuff like that. And because he could tell it was for him. So then he was all about like, oh yeah, let's do this. And now every time anything breaks on him, he's like all on me to fix it. And like, he'll be right there with me, helping me fix it. So, and he's starting to get old enough now where I can sort of like start my daughter as well. My daughter's not as coordinated as my son, but she's because she's two, you know,
yeah.
But I think she will be in a couple of years because she's not just watching me. She's also watching her older brother and trying to keep up with him. She just potty trained herself this week. Like
what?
By herself. Yeah, because we're too busy. Like, we've been way too busy to even think about it. Mm-hmm. And then she just started doing it. We're like, well, that's awesome.
Yo, kids are incredible, man. Kids are incredible.
Oh, man.
Especially when they have older siblings. Yeah, when they got those siblings. Like, I look at my youngest. He's three. And since he was 1 year old, we couldn't feed him. We could not feed him. He needed his own table, his own spoon, his own bowl of cereal. If you tried to give him food, he would scream. And it's because he's keeping up with his brothers.
Yeah.
Like, you want to talk about influence.
No, he didn't want to be a baby.
Hey, you want to talk about influence, man. The siblings got it. You know, they got all the influence that the kids need. Now, you know, going back to the creativity side, like, have you ever had somebody, like, basically hate on it? Like, have you had neighbors come to you and tell you, what the hell are you doing, man? This is wrong. And how did you deal with that?
Never neighbors. It's more just internet trolls, and they're all
of course, the trolls.
Better words, they're dumb, but I mean, neighbors wise, I think everyone, you know, wherever we land, we try to create good relationships with the people around us. So we've never had a bad experience with a neighbor. But definitely, like, I mean, I think it just really comes down to understanding too, right? I think that's the problem with so much stuff in our world is just not understanding each other because we come from different backgrounds or different understandings of things. Like, there's tons of comments like on my Rube Goldberg machines of like, what a waste of time, what a mess, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe if he spent more time with his kids instead of working on this, you know? I'm like,
yeah,
my kid was with me like most of the time while I was building that thing. But, you know, it's just people that just don't understand. So, for the most part, I just kind of ignore that stuff. Usually there's enough people in the comments to like straighten them out, but sometimes I'll just respond really nicely because I think that's important too. It's especially when there's something like really blatant on there that like that other people might think as well. I try to respond to like one person as almost like my official statement on Jim. You know, so then if anybody else is wondering about that, they can find my official statement there.
That's a nice hack. That's a nice hack right there.
Yeah, exactly. Because you don't want to get yourself in a situation where you're responding to every negative comment. You just respond to one, and now that's the official statement. Because I think that the best way to, like, the best advice I've been given about trolls is, you know, for every troll, you've got, you know, 10, 20, 30 comments from people that love what you're doing. So why are you focusing and giving your time and attention to the people that don't? You know, you should instead, you should be like, if I got time to respond to a troll, I should be responding to people that understand it and get it. But at the same time, the people that support maybe of just as a way to like, you know, like maybe somebody will learn from whatever I say. You know, like, so for instance, the Rube Goldberg machines, people say, oh, what a mess. What a waste of time or whatever. And, you know, but my response to that is like, hey, this is my hobby. This is my crossword puzzle. This is an amazing way for anybody, kids or adults, to, you know, work their brain and like, you know, like problem solve. It's an amazing problem solving, tool to like learn, oh, this didn't work, but I need to adjust it slightly this way. And then maybe I'm going to try it again. And like that try it again mentality is like, I think so important in teaching kids to try it again and like, you know, keep going until you get it right. Because when that machine finally works, man, it is so much fun.
It feels so good.
Yeah, it feels really good. Because it might take 140 tries.
That's perseverance. That's teaching your kids perseverance right there. And it's coming without you having to sit there and tell them, hey, guys, here's a new word, perseverance. And it means such and such. And every day, let me give you an affirmation for it. You're just doing it by actually living the life.
Yeah, example. Yeah, you just live life, man. All that vocabulary will find its way in. I like that one, the perseverance. I should use that more.
Hey, it's all yours, man. It's all yours. You know,
I want to put that up off this wall, perseverance.
You know, talking about that, man. You know, that's the thing. Like, perseverance is huge. And I think that goes back to what you were saying when you're trying to explain to people what dude dad is, right? You're still a person. We just added the title of dad to it. And now you're persevering as a father, where you're educating, you're testing things out, you're getting creative, you're falling flat on your face, and you're getting right back up. If perseverance doesn't give you all the meanings that you need towards fatherhood, then I don't know what does. Because we need to persevere, right? You need some perseverance to do all of this stuff, man. Like, fatherhood ain't easy. And you just showed us how to get real creative with it, man. So thank you. Because that's incredible.
It's not easy, but it is lit.
So one last final question, man. You know, a lot of us, we get inspired by things, and sometimes we don't really know where it came from, right? You and I have spoke about something where you use the term fatherhood is lit. And we spoke about it. We cleared the air. I want to know what fatherhood is lit means to you. Because I think you're the perfect person to answer this.
I knew you were going to ask this.
You knew I was going to ask that because you know who I am.
Yeah.
And this is how we do it. So what does fatherhood is lit mean to you? Because I think for some reason I feel like you're going to give me a quotable that I'm going to be able to shop around.
Ooh, oh man, now you put the pressure.
All right, no pressure.
If I fail, I can try again.
No pressure. Just send me a power wheel and we're good. It's not for my kids though, it's for me.
Okay, I'll better get the bigger one then. Here's what I want to do though, and if this happened and it worked, then you're definitely gonna have to try it out with me. I want to take my 60 watt lawnmower battery and put that into a power wheels. Because that'll be like 3 times faster than what my current one is. It would be insane. But it'll probably just burn out the motor instantly.
We're gonna have to ride around the block as a dad gang, man, with a whole bunch of power wheels. Super power wheels.
Like those tricycle dad gangs that are happening right now.
Oh yeah, I saw a video of that the other day, man. That was hilarious.
It's power wheels.
The big wheel.
Speakers in the back just bumping.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? I think you and I just having this little dialogue right now, it kind of gave me the definition of what fatherhood is lit to you, like what it means to you.
Yeah. I mean, well, let me say it and then you build off of it. I mean, to me, it's like fatherhood is fun. Fatherhood is cool. Fatherhood is
the best thing that could ever happen to us.
yeah, it's the best thing that ever happened to us. It's like I think like where my head went with that when I originally like put it as like a slogan on one of my hats was like, I think there's this idea that like when you become a dad, like you're boring, you're mm-hmm. responsible, you're the one that has to like make the rules. And like, that's where somewhere, you know, when you think father, you think like that rigid person who's just keeping people in line. And like, to me, it's just, it's so much more than that. Like, it's this amazing experience that transcends your life as you knew it. Like, for me, like, when I became a dad, it opened up this part inside myself that I didn't know was there. It's like this door open inside my heart, and you like open up this door and you turn on the light, and it's like this huge warehouse, and you feel the huge halogen light bulbs kicking on.
You hit a music in the background.
Yeah. It's like an airplane hangar room, you know, like it's like from a Avengers movie or something, you know, the lair, and you're like, whoa, what is this? You know? And then you learn so much about yourself in those first 2 years. Like, I can't tell you how many times I was like calling my own parents being like, hey, sorry. Like, I didn't realize how selfish I was, you know? But you start, it like opens you up and like in this whole new way, and you learn all this stuff about yourself, but like just about life in general. And it's lit, man. Like it's this experience that changes you for the better in so many ways.
Dude, I love it.
Did you get a simple quote out of there?
No, I love it. I love it because we could do the cute stuff, right? We could do the cute stuff and summarize it in one sentence or a couple letters or a couple words. But in reality, fatherhood is lit is what you make of it. Like you hit it perfectly. And the same thing with dude dad. It aligns perfectly. We're showing the world that this life is beautiful.
Exactly. And I think fatherhood is lit is the short version of all of that.
Yep. Yep.
Put all that in there, you know, so I don't think you get a cool. Oh, cool. I'm sorry. That's a cool train, buddy. What do you got?
This is fatherhood is lit. This is fatherhood is lit right here. Him talking to you.
Hey, buddy. I'm going to get off this phone call in 1 second and I'm going to come look at that train. Okay.
That's fatherhood is lit, bro. That's fatherhood is lit because you can't get upset. You can't get upset over things like that. Like, this is life. Like, we're lucky, bro. Like, we're blessed. Like, we're dads. Like, I would have never had known what it's like to be a dad or to feel this blessed if I wasn't one.
Mm-hmm.
Fatherhood is lit. Exactly. Fatherhood is lit, bro. Yeah. It's not a boring life. Dude, dad, you just showed that. Like, you have fun with it. Fatherhood is lit because you're making your presence felt. But you're having fun with it your way. Yo, it doesn't get better than that, man. This is like the dream job. If only it came with $5 million a year, it would be perfect. But this is the dream job.
Well, you know, we're just going to keep trying.
You're going to get there, bro. You're going to get there. You're building cool stuff. You're building a brand. And you're taking out time to talk to fathers that aren't always spoken to. You're one of the realists here, man. Just having this conversation with me proves to not only me, but it proves to the community that you're about that life. You're about that dad life, and you're going to show it off. You're going to showcase it. And we can never, never hate on another dad that's showing the positive side of fatherhood. Because if we did that, then we're losers. And that's not what we're not losers. We're trying to be the best we can be. Exactly. Exactly. Well, Taylor, what's the best way people can reach you, man?
You can find me on all the social stuff. Just look up Dude Dad.
Dude Dad, the easy way to go.
That's right. You'll find me everywhere. But reach out. Hit me up. Say what's up. I'm here.
Yeah, follow me.
And hopefully I'll find your message. It's gotten ridiculous. Like, that's the problem with, like, the more followers you get, the harder it is to, like, keep up with messages and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I get some of the coolest messages, but like sometimes they get buried and I miss them or whatever. But then you'll find this message from this, you know, this dad or whatever that was inspired by something that I put up, or, you know, has like done one of my projects and wanted to show it off. I'm like, oh my God, how cool is this? This is so awesome. But
on the bad days, those messages, man, they mean the world.
They do. Yeah. I mean, and honestly, like it's a give and take, man, because those, those messages keep me going because they you know, we get inside ourselves all the time about like, oh, what am I doing? Like, I'm so like unmotivated today. And then like you get a message like that and you're like, oh, okay, here we go. Let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah, it makes it worth it again. Because it's true. Like you have those peaks and valleys, and when it hits those valleys and it's the bottom of that valley, man, it feels like why am I doing this? Is it worth it?
Mm-hmm. Same thing as just as a dad, like not even a creator, just as a dad, you know. Like, and I think I get the most messages from people when I get vulnerable and say like, this sucks. This is hard. I do not know what I'm doing. And then people are like, oh my God, me too. Thank you for saying that. I felt like an awful dad today. And I saw your thing and I was like, okay, no, we're good. Let's do this. Like everyone's struggling. Like I thought this guy was just, you know, had it all figured out, and here it turns out his kids are also little a-holes, you know?
we all got those.
Sometimes they are, 100%. So.
Hey, but we could say that, though. We could say that because we're present. We're involved in their lives. So now we could actually say all the bad things that they are and then smooth it out with the, but we love them. They complete us.
Yeah. And they do. And then they always redeem themselves with those other little moments where you're like, oh my God.
Oh man, Taylor, I don't know how to thank you enough, bro. You came through, you kept it real with us. That's what the platform is all about. And you actually just, not only are you motivating dads that are good with their hands, but you're motivating dads like me that are just willing to try. And that's what I wanted to get. So thank you so much for your time, man. I really, really do appreciate it.
Hey, Carlos, thanks for having me.
I'll tell people the story about Carlos on another podcast because I think it's a valuable lesson.
I forgot that wasn't a part of the podcast.
That was behind the scenes.
It was James, not Carlos. I didn't make that. Like somebody else did, and we talked about it. I forgot that was a joke between you.
Nah, it's all good. It's all good to the community. You better not go after dude dead. He did not mean that. That was part of our conversation, and I'm going to talk about it in a future podcast because I think it needs to be done anyway. So thank you for that. Thank you for that, Taylor.
Yeah, thank you, James, and appreciate the time, and thanks for doing what you do, man.
Yeah, for sure. To the community. Sometimes making your presence felt takes a little creativity, and Taylor, aka Dude Dad, just showed us that you can get creative, have fun, and still do it your way, the dad way, the Dude Dad way. Go get creative and keep making your presence felt. Father is lit.